This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers and sisters, welcome to this next session where we will discuss the second hadith of the collection of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah's 42 hadith collection. In this hadith it says, on the authority of Umar radiallahu an, who said, one day, whilst we were sitting with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there appeared before us a man whose clothes were exceedingly white, and whose hair was exceedingly black. No signs of journey were to be seen on him, and none of us knew him. He walked up and sat down in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his knees touching against his knees, and placing the palms of his hands on his thighs. He said, O Muhammad, tell me about Islam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Islam is to testify that there is no deity worthy of worship but Allah, and Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. To perform prayers, to give zakah, to fast in Ramadan, and to make the pilgrimage to the house if you are able to do so. He said, you have spoken rightly. And we were amazed at him asking him and saying that he had spoken rightly. He, the man, then said, tell me about Iman. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, and the last day, and to believe in divine destiny, which is Qadr, both the good and the evil of it. He said, you have spoken rightly. The man then said, tell me about Ihsan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, it is to worship Allah as though you see Him. And if you do not see Him, know that truly He sees you. He said, then tell me about the hour. He said, the one questioned about it knows no better than the questioner. He said, then tell me about its signs. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, saying that the slave girl will give birth to his mistress, and that you will see barefooted, naked, destitute shepherds competing in constructing lofty buildings. Then the man left, and I stayed for a time. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Umar, do you know who the questioner was? I said, Allah and His Messenger know best. He said, it was Jibril who came to teach you your religion. This hadith was related by Imam Muslim, and it is an authentic hadith. It is known as Ummu Sunnah, or the foundation of the Sunnah. Because this hadith teaches us all that the Sunnah comprises of. It returns back to the Sunnah. Everything that we look at in our deen comes back to this hadith, which was related by Imam Muslim and narrated by Umar radiallahu anhu. So we have to look at some of the points which are related to this hadith, some of the points that we can extrapolate from this hadith. To start off with, the explanation of the Islamic creed. What does it mean to be a Muslim? What do you need to believe in? And then he explains Iman. The second thing is the explanation of the Sharia within Islam, or the laws of Islam. Thirdly, the explanation of Suluk, or Islamic spirituality when he talks about ihsan, to worship Allah as though you see him. And if you do not see him, know that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you. The fourth point to keep in mind with regards to this hadith is the matters of the ghaib, the unseen, when he talks about the signs of the hour. And we'll get into this. It is a very lengthy hadith, but we will try to summarize this hadith for you in the next few sessions. Now, Islam and its levels. What are the levels of Islam? Generally, Islam in itself, it's a general term, but it has another definition. As Islam encompasses the entire deen. Okay, when someone hears the word Islam, they think the entire deen, correct? But when it is mentioned alongside Iman, Islam is that which benefits the body. So we'll look at three levels of religion. We have Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. Okay? Islam is for the benefit of the body. Okay? Submission. It is to benefit the body. Iman, which is the second part, is for the benefit of the mind. Okay? These are matters dealing with intellect. And thirdly, Ihsan. What is Ihsan? This is for the benefit of the soul, and we will get into these three insha'Allah ta'ala in detail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an, He uses in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 143, He says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِالنَّاسِ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. The English translation to the meaning of this is, and Allah would never let your faith be lost. He would never let your faith be lost. That is, your prayers that you offered towards Jerusalem. And this was basically showing the Muslimin, those that had passed away, and they lived during the time where the Muslims used to pray towards the Qibla of Jerusalem. So their Qibla, their direction of prayer was Jerusalem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He will not let their faith go or be lost. Allah is full of kindness, most merciful towards mankind. Now, some of the features of Jibreel alayhi salam, as we see within this hadith, some of the physical features. His hair was exceedingly black, and his clothing were extremely white. He had no sign of journeying, and he was a stranger to Medina. Now, you have to ask yourselves, put yourself in the shoes of the companions. Try and put yourself at that time where the companions are watching this incident happen. And a man comes and sits down in front of the Prophet ﷺ with extremely black hair and super, super white clothing and sits in front of the Prophet ﷺ. At that time, we didn't get inside our BMWs and Mercedes and start driving from one city to the other like people do today. You know, you can come from Mecca to Medina and not have any signs of travel on you. You have the air conditioning turned on. You drive this journey of about 500 kilometers. You get there. Nobody even knew that you just came from Mecca, for example. But this person comes and sits in front of the Prophet ﷺ. Nobody knew who he was. Therefore, he was a traveler. He was someone who came from outside of Medina. And so when he came and sat in front of the Prophet ﷺ and started to ask these questions, the companions were a little bit confused. They were wondering, why and where did this person come from? And his method of talking to the Prophet ﷺ, he sits down. He puts his knees in front of the knees of the Prophet ﷺ, his hands on his thighs, with a lot of respect and very humble. And he starts to ask Allah. He starts to ask the Prophet ﷺ these questions, and then the hadith continues. Now, this shows us some etiquette, some manners, where this person, who the companions did not know who he was, but he sits down and he starts to speak in a very nice, very respectable way. And it is a way that the Prophet ﷺ said, taught the companions their religion. It taught them their religion, this method of communication and speech between one and the other. And we will take a short break now. We will come back, insha'Allah, and continue the explanation of this hadith. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters, welcome back. So we continue with the hadith of Jibreel, or Ummu Sunnah, as it's referred to, the foundation of the Sunnah. When the hadith refers to this incident that happened between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Jibreel, it mentions that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about iman, and he mentioned that it is to testify your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his last and final messenger, to perform prayer, to pay zakat, to fast during Ramadan, and to go for hajj, and so on and so forth. We learn from this a very important thing: the testimony of faith. What does it mean to testify your belief? Does it mean that Islam or Iman is right here in your heart? Because a lot of the time, you go to the masjid, for example, you approach people who, maybe they're your friends, and you tell them, you know, I saw you doing such and such thing, maybe you shouldn't do it that way, maybe it was done this way by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You try to correct their mistakes, for example. And then this person says, Jazakallahu khairan, Allah knows what's in here, Allah knows what's in my heart. Now that in itself is a statement which should not be made, okay? Because iman is not only found within the heart. Iman means to have that belief within your heart, to testify with your tongue, to verbally testify your faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as to act upon it, okay? To act and perform the actions and duties of a Muslim, and so on and so forth. Let's give you an example. When you go to court, okay, a person goes to court and they stand before the judge and they are asked to testify about, you know, they witnessed a crime. Let's just say, for example, they witnessed a crime and the judge asks you to testify. Do you just stand there and go? No, you don't. When the judge asks you to testify, you actually have to say something. You need to say, I saw this person going to this place at such and such time on so and so day, and they were going there, and this is what happened, this is what they said, and whatever the case may be. You cannot testify by just standing there and looking straight at a person. That is not testification. Okay, testification means that you actually say something. Therefore, as Muslims, we need to state that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should never be shy to do this. We should actually feel proud to say that I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the other messengers that came. I believe in all of these things. And therefore, it will teach us that we have nothing to be scared of. We should be happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this deen, gave us this religion to practice and to live among society and to tell them about it and to freely speak about it. And this is something that we should be happy about as well. The fact that in many, many countries around the world, we can openly express our religion. We can speak about Islam to our neighbors. We can talk about it and explain it to them and so on and so forth. Whereas in many countries around the world, there are issues and problems that people cannot even express their iman and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the companions, they were very, very concerned with this man who came and sat before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was asking about iman. You know, tell me about iman. It is to believe in Allah and His angels and books and messengers and the last day and so on and so forth, and to believe in divine destiny or qadr. So the companions were looking at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this man who we know is Jibreel alayhi salam, he tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have spoken rightly, you have spoken rightly. Now this is something that is strange. This is the Prophet of Allah. This is the Messenger who came with this message. Surely he knows this message better than anybody else. But this man says, you have spoken rightly, showing that he knows as well. He knows this message maybe on the same level as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we look at the pillars of Iman that are mentioned here. First of all, the word pillar is never mentioned anywhere in the Sunnah or in the Quran stating the pillars of Iman are such and such. But the scholars say that the word pillar can be used here because any structure that is held together is usually held up by a foundation, which is usually made by or comprises of pillars. So we have the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His angels, His books, His messengers, the last day, and divine destiny. If one of these pillars is missing, brothers and sisters, then the whole of your iman is gone. You cannot believe in one pillar and not the other. You must believe in all of these pillars. There's no such thing as a partial mu'min, a partial believer. But for the pillars of Islam, for example, we will get into that shortly. Just to briefly touch upon it, the pillars of Islam differ from the pillars of Iman. Okay, so we have to be able to differentiate between the two. There's the pillars of Iman, which is what we're talking about now, and then there's the pillars of Islam, which we will get into shortly. With regards to Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must believe that Allah is the one true Lord to be worshipped. That there's no other creator that created us. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is our Lord and Him is who we worship. And that is the next part, that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we believe He's our Lord. We believe He's the one to be worshipped. And we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has these names and attributes which we are well aware of, and we cannot name them now because there are far too many. But we believe in His names and attributes, and we follow them, and we believe that they are attributed to Him. In no way, shape or form do they compare with our names and attributes that we have as human beings or any other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, belief in the angels. What does it mean to believe in the angels? Well, there are certain hadith, certain verses from the Qur'an that mention things about the angels. We must believe in those things. To believe in the angels is one aspect of it. But to believe in the other parts, the other informative details that we receive from the hadith as well as from the Qur'an, we must believe in those. For example, Allah has created the angels and has a creation called angels, for example. From those angels are the angel Jibreel, Mikael, and others. Some of them have two wings, some have three, some have four, some have more than that, such as Jibreel alayhi salam, who has 600 wings, and so on and so forth. And so these details continue, and we must believe in all of these details, okay? But to believe in the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the pillars of our iman. Now, what does it mean to believe in the books? To believe in the books. These are the books of the messengers of Allah that had come with a message, whether it be the previous books or the Qur'an. As Muslims, we believe in all of them, but we follow the Qur'an because it is the last book that was revealed. Therefore, we follow it as the last and final book which came to us from the Messenger or through Jibreel to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Iman in the messengers, to believe in all of them, that Allah sent messengers to human beings, to mankind, in order to guide them. They came with the truth. They came with this message which will guide human beings towards a beneficial way of spending their life in order that they can acquire Jannah insha'Allah ta'ala in the hereafter. Iman in the last day. What does it mean to believe in the last day? To believe in the Day of Judgment, that all of us will be resurrected and questioned, standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be questioned with regards to how you lived your life, how you dealt with people, how you did things, who you were worshipping, why you worshipped that person or that thing or Allah. and so on and so forth. So every single human being will be questioned on the Day of Judgment. Lastly, iman in the qadr, whether it be good or bad. This is divine predestination, and this is a part of our belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only gave us a limited amount of knowledge. And with this, brothers and sisters, we take a short break and we return in a moment. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters, welcome back. I would like to ask all of you a question. Is there goodness in Iblis? Is there goodness for us with respect to Iblis or Shaytan? The answer is yes, there is goodness. Okay, if there did not exist Shaytan to create evil or to make evil happen, for example, not create evil because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created evil, but for evil things to take place, if that did not exist, then there would be no tawbah. People would not have to repent. People would not have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's use a simple example. The example of a person who dies as a shaheed. Okay, when the companions were fighting their battles, for example, and one of them was killed as a martyr, and there's a hadith that mentions before the first drop of blood reaches the ground, all the sins of that person are forgiven. All the sins of that person are forgiven. Now, if there was no opponent for those companions to be fighting, then there would be no point in them fighting. And there would be no way for them to actually make this instance or this situation come true. Therefore, Iblis in itself is something which is a goodness for the Muslims. Therefore, brothers and sisters, as we can see, when a person repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it in itself, repentance is a form of worship. It is a type of ibadah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that we make ibadah and we get closer to Him, and so therefore there is goodness for us in it. Now, an important point here to note, what is the difference between a Muslim and a mu'min? A Muslim and a mu'min. A mu'min is a higher level than a Muslim. Okay, this can be seen in the hadith when one of the Bedouins came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they were asking about Islam, and then they said they believe. And it is shown to us in Surah Al-Hujarat when the Arab Bedouins would say, "We have believed," but Allah says, "Say, you have yet to believe. Rather, say that you have submitted to Islam whilst iman has yet to enter your hearts." Therefore, there is a difference between being a Muslim and being a mu'min. So it is a higher level. It is one thing to submit to Islam and to the beliefs, and to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is another thing to implement that belief that you have. Every mu'min is a Muslim, but not every Muslim is a mu'min. Brothers and sisters, the concept of iman is something which is very interesting. It goes up with goodness, being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it goes down with the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what does it mean to have iman as statement and action? So we have statement of the heart. This is just like believing in Jibreel alayhi salam, believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you, and so on and so forth. The statement of the tongue, okay, is to actually say the heart statements. So you believe in Allah, you're saying that you believe in Allah. You believe in the angels, you say that you believe in the angels. Actions of the heart. What is an action of the heart? It is when a person does emotional action towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as love, hope, fear, and so on and so forth. So they act, these acts, I should say, They are acts of worship that your heart carries out. So your heart carries out these acts. And this ties in with the actions of the limb. So the actions of the heart. For example, you love your wife. So you tell your wife that you love her, you make a nice dinner, romantic dinner, and you sit down together, you know, and you converse with each other, and you spend time together, you take your children out, you show them emotion, and so on and so forth. Action of the tongue. Action of the tongue is basically to... there are acts of worship that the tongue carries out, okay? Such as doing adhkar, giving da'wah to others, reciting the Qur'an, and so on and so forth. These are actions of the tongue that are types of ibadah that you perform with your mouth, with your tongue. And lastly, actions of the limbs, such as performing salah, going for hajj. These are actions of the limbs. And iman, as I said, increases with the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they decrease with the disobedience of Allah. Brothers and sisters, that is all the time that we have. We covered some of the points dealing with iman at the beginning of this second hadith, Ummu Sunnah, the hadith with Jibreel alayhi salam, who comes to visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Join us next time when we continue the explanation of Ummu Sunnah. Jazakumullahu khayran. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. ومن عليه بلطف